O gracious and most holy God, you continue to amaze us with your powerful presence and your vision for the community of faith. And now may the words that I speak and the meditations of our own hearts always be pleasing and always be acceptable unto you, for you are my Lord, you are my rock, and you are my gracious and holy Redeemer. Amen. Well, today is Epiphany Sunday, and it marks, as we have earlier witnessed, the occasion in which the three wise men, or the three rulers from the east, bearing gifts for the Messiah, Jesus the Christ. But you know, we may be only a handful of churches who are reading this text this morning, because most of the decorations are down, the trees are down, our poinsettias is here. Most of the decorations, gifts have been received, they have been returned, and a lot of churches really are moving on to the next liturgical experience. And as I turned the radio this morning, I heard this news announcement that there's actually a town, I don't know where it was, it's not New Orleans, who decided that Epiphany Sunday is a good day to start Mardi Gras. So some communities are already in that frame of mind, Mardi Gras. And so today, we are excited because this is Epiphany Sunday. And if you take a look at the liturgical calendar, it's really the day after Christmas, you know. And, of course, in the Eastern Orthodox tradition, it happens, as I said, to be the day after Christmas. In the Eastern Church, it says that there were 12 wise men who visited the manger. And so that is why I didn't know about this, and that is why we have the 12 days after Christmas. But in the Western Church, there were only three who were noted for their study of the stars as part of their religion, and they were overwhelmed with joy because the Holy Spirit appeared to them to find this child Jesus born in the manger. And so we know the story. They visited King Herod, and King Herod said, well, you know, if you find the child Jesus, let me know, you know, wink, wink, so that we can also, or I can also offer the tributes from my kingdom. Well, we know that the wise men were sometimes referred to as kings, although not specifically identified as rulers. It symbolizes, most of all, that all rulers, kings and queens, men and women, learned men and women through the years, are really subject to God. And that is why, in the scripture, Herod was so afraid. I mean, one can imagine that he trembled at the prospect of this unknown prophecy being fulfilled. You see, for Herod, he wants to deal with something that is known. To deal with something that is unknown, that's beyond his belief. That's beyond his capacity. He has the capacity to do good. You know, his forces are there to offer goodness. But he also has the capacity to do bad things for God's people. And part of the prophecy is also from the book of Isaiah, who gave testimony to this event. You know, the book of Isaiah, we recall, testified that the people who have been walking in the land of deep darkness, they have seen the great light, and it is through Jesus Christ. And we mentioned some time ago that when Isaiah prophesied these things, the people were really at the cusp or at the edge or at the beginning of exile. And we know the story. They were sent into exile. The best and the brightest in the community were sent into exile. The temple was already destroyed, decimated. It was just a heap of ruins. And then eventually they were able to come back. It was Ezra in the Old Testament and also Nehemiah who found a blueprint of how to rebuild the temple. So first of all, they rebuilt the walls, and eventually they rebuilt the temple. And the people, upon seeing the temple, said, yes, it's nice to have the second temple rebuilt. But they had this memory of the first temple, who the temple was so beautiful and that was so bright and inviting. And so even though the second temple was rebuilt, they agonized. They mourned because they have this precious memory of the temple. And so Herod came in. And so when Herod came in, he decided, well, I'm going to make an addition to the temple. And that is why Herod built all of these palaces and these beautiful platforms, because he wanted to make sure that the people experience, you know, the temple in the way that they have remembered. But during this time, Herod was still in control. And so that is why the Messiah, the promise of the Messiah came, was indeed a big surprise. Because in the prophecy, they never expected the Messiah to come in the form of a child born in the manger. That was not part of their religious imagination. That was not part in their spiritual literature as well. Not in this manner. And so when the three kings came, I think it was rather a surprise for Herod. Especially when they were, when Herod was told, well, he's going to be born in Bethlehem, and we are being guided by the star of Bethlehem to worship him. I think it's important to note that this is indeed the story of our faith. Christmas and Epiphany is the story of our faith. We know the story of our faith through the church. And the announcement of the birth of Jesus Christ through his resurrection. And as I was meditating on the scripture for this Sunday, I read something that this is indeed the biography. You know, this is indeed the life story of our Savior Jesus Christ. And it is a continuing story, and God keeps on unwrapping the gifts in all different places. We hang on to every testimony of God touching our lives. And in the words of one writer, Anne Lamott, some of you have heard or read her works, she said, we stitch our own faith one at a time. Because God dwells not only in the big picture, but God dwells in the small picture. So that when we can take a look at the small picture, God is able to magnify. God is able to bring it into focus in God's own time about his own beautiful power. You see, Christianity is not only a matter of belief. Christianity is a matter of practice. And that is why when we read again from the book of Psalms, listen to the psalmist and his response. Give the king your justice, O God, and your righteousness to a king's son. You know, the psalmist was talking about Jesus. May the mountains yield prosperity for the people in righteousness. So the psalmist was talking about creation. And the rest of the psalm is an invitation to offer praise and thanksgiving to God. All of creation, all that moves and have their beings, the psalmist said, they are offering their thanksgiving to God. And that's why the visit of the Magi was a recognition that something is going on. And I heard this moment, this word, when I was at the ASP, what is the God moment in your life? The psalm concludes by declaring that the prayers of David are ended because they have been answered forever and ever and ever. You know, every year, I'm not sure whether this has ever happened to you, the often repeated question is, how is it working for you? Have you heard that lately? I think it refers to our New Year's resolution. How is it working for you? Then I realized that the question really is not only personal, but it is also spiritual. Because there are people who are trying to figure out, you know, how is it working for you? How come you are in such a spiritual place. How come there is peace in your heart? And there's an opportunity for you to talk about your own faith. But what if our response is something like this? How is it working for you? And what if your response is something like, well, you know, sometimes it doesn't work for me. There are many times when I have to work for it. There are many times I really have to struggle to find out how God works in my life. But then you realize the equation in our relationship with God is life, death, resurrection, and hope. That is indeed the gift of Epiphany. We return home, just like the Magi, not in the same place. But we return home, and according to the scripture, by another way. You know, the landscape, the geography keeps on changing when we return home, but the destination is still the same. So the Magi left. They went on another route. Jesus, Mary, and Joseph got up, and they went all the way to Egypt, to a strange and foreign land, according to the scripture, so that the scripture will be fulfilled, so that out of Egypt I have called my own son. And finally, I ran this story about the Apollo 8 mission about 50 years ago. The same capsule, remember, some of you remember Apollo 8 mission. It was in 1968 during Christmas Eve. I know it's past Christmas Eve, during Christmas Eve. And so they were orbiting. And so the best and the brightest men and women and the brightest technology available to the United States was front and center during that time. But as the space Apollo 8 capsule was circling, all of a sudden that capsule, according to the story, became a pulpit for the Jewish and Christian faith. Because what they did was something unimaginable. They opened the book of Genesis, and they read from the scripture. And they quoted from Genesis 1, where it says, in the beginning was the Word. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Can you imagine that? You know, in the vastness of the space, looking down at the earth, they read from the scripture. And then the other astronaut said, in the beginning was the Word, from the book of John. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And finally, the third astronaut was able to share what is the ancient creed. And he said, God the Father Almighty, Redeemer, Maker of heaven and earth. You see, what happened during that time is when the best in the brightest, whether it is the wise men or men and women in ancient past or in the present, when they experience something that is awesome, that is something unexplainable, what they do is to bow down and offer a reverent worship. That is what we do. That is the best that we can do in all seasons. I mean, in all seasons, in tears and laughter. So my good friend died not too long ago, the other day. But she remained faithful throughout her own life until the last breath that she gave to God. God holds us because we are fearfully and wonderfully made. This is indeed our companion as we travel home and to the different places in our own lives. God changes the landscape, but the destination is always the same. It is always near to the heart of God. And so this Epiphany Sunday, as we end our Christmas season, we give thanks to God because God is always doing something new, something remarkable. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.